Are people going to come on as guests? Are people going to want to listen? It's like, if you're genuinely enjoying yourself, then that's the most important thing with this. Obviously, from there, you can go and make it super professional, make an income from it, do whatever you want to do after that.
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money, and they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, hey, it's Adam Adams. And generally, as you may have gotten accustomed to, any even-numbered episode is supposed to be me alone pouring into you and your business. However, I did so many different interviews with so many really, really good people that on this episode today, even though this would typically just be me pouring into your business, me just sharing something short, like 5, 10, 20 minutes, where I poured into you and your podcast and growing your brand and really getting you in front of everybody, I'm going to do that today with an interview. So let's get right into it. And we're back with another episode of the podcast on podcasting. I'm your host, Adam A. Adams, AAA, if you want to call me. And we've got Tyler Lockwood on the show. Tyler, how are you?
I am great. As I was saying to you before, up nice and early. So it's an excuse to get up and start the day early.
We were talking in the pre-interview, your Australian accent that everybody in the U.S. loves. And I want to give you a chance to highlight it. So give us a little bit about your background, your schooling, and your podcast.
Absolutely. So I guess it's something my whole life I got told that I just didn't stop talking. And while it was a lot of time criticism that people were saying, it was something that I never really considered a strength. I sort of more considered it something that I needed to stop doing. And so all throughout schooling, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, kind of looked into things like law, the classic, like, oh, everyone wants to be a lawyer at some point. And then I kind of moved into business. I had a mum that worked while my dad stayed at home. So I think that definitely had a huge impact on the fact that I always knew that I wanted to do something. I always really had that goal for myself to do something awesome. And at one point it was to be a CEO of a huge company and make all this money and do all this stuff. And it was actually at the start of like 2020 that I was overseas, which seems surreal now that I was overseas, and had this realization that what I was doing wasn't really filling me up. It wasn't giving me the joy, the love that I really wanted to. And at that point, I'd literally just graduated from uni. I had studied marketing and business management. And for about the last year before that, I had really, really been kind of considering how I could get into business, but in a way that was going to be sustainable, because I was really sort of aware of the impact of the planet, like what we were doing to our planet. So it was really kind of difficult to grapple with finishing a marketing degree and then being like, great, I'm going to go and sell a whole bunch of stuff to people that probably don't need it as a marketer who cares about sustainability. So from that, we obviously went into lockdown, and that was where the podcast really came from, kind of just wanting to have cool conversations with awesome people and do something that mattered a little bit more than just what I was already doing. So yeah, it was a bit of a came out of left field. Everyone around me, was like, oh yeah, that makes so much sense. But we also didn't see this coming. So it was definitely something I fell into more than was super well planned, but I probably wouldn't have any other way, because if it didn't materialize the way it didn't, it wouldn't be where it is today. So that's sort of how I started, and how going through school, just not knowing what I was doing, really probably led me today to doing what I'm doing, which is awesome podcasting, talking to cool people just like you, and just having a good time doing it.
And so a couple quick things. How do you make money with the podcast, or what are you doing to make money?
So at the moment, I'm looking at a couple of different monetization strategies. One of those things, when I just started it, it's definitely a passion project. Like from the day, that was sort of where it came from. I was still working at that point.
I missed what you said. From the day dot?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I forget that Australians have weird sayings. So from the very start.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's uni is college. Mum is mom. I get those, but I've never heard of day dot. Am I even saying it right?
From the very start.
Day dot. That means from the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm with you now. And I will never make that mistake again, Tyler. Anyone else from Australia who comes onto this show, I now know what day dot means. I'll never make that mistake again. Keep going.
I have to be careful, especially on things like Clubhouse, because I'll say things and people will be like, what are you talking about? So, and even on the podcast as well, just making sure that I'm not saying any weird Aussie sayings. But yeah, so from the complete start, I'll phrase it that way. Yeah, I was just genuinely just a passion project. And I mean, I'm so excited by the incredible guests that I've had on. And so it's only been in the past like month or two that I've really looked into monetizing it. For me, it is a huge marketing strategy. So I sell an online course for low waste living, and a lot of people just getting traction onto my website, kind of just getting to know me. That's probably the primary use for the podcast for me personally, other than obviously just having a fun time with it. But I am looking forward into incorporating more ads and potentially using just a platform that just kind of slips in those ads where I don't have to look for a sponsor, just because at the moment my workload, kind of engaging with that is something that I'm not ready to do yet. I also kind of use the skills that I've gained from podcasting, and very accidentally to that point, to begin doing some podcast production for a few other people. So yeah, for me, it's mostly the marketing and having a good time doing it, but it's definitely been able to open doors in other avenues as well.
I want you to interview my sweetheart. She's an attorney. And so you have a little bit in common because you thought about studying law, but she, I don't remember if it's called No Waste Chronicles or something like that. She has this Instagram where she basically takes pictures of her trash whenever has to finally take out the trash. And so sometimes it's like 2 weeks or 3 weeks will go by and she's throwing away a half a bag of trash. And it's like, I don't know how she does it, but she's always cooking meals at home and she does, what is it called? I don't know why I can't think of it. I've done it for years. Composting. So, hey, I like the way they say composting in Australia. Will you say compost?
Composting.
Yeah, it's, I love it. Love it. Love it. But yeah, you should interview her. She's very passionate about that. And she's always recycling everything that she can recycle, barely wasting almost anything. Like a family of three, she'll only throw away something like every other week. It's insane.
That's so, really awesome.
So you have a course.
Mm-hmm.
The podcast is called Unlock Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening and you are interested in what Tyler said a moment ago, where she was going to do marketing to give people all this stuff, and my sweetheart made me watch some movie video, I don't remember, but basically it shows how much we waste, and at least Americans for sure, how much we are throwing away, how much is filling up landfills, and a few ideas of people out there that are wasting less than most Americans are. And is really interesting. Your podcast is called Unlock Earth. Why are you so passionate about this? What is the problem that you're truly solving?
It's interesting you phrase it like that. And especially considering I have a background in marketing, I didn't do probably a lot of the branding and positioning stuff before starting my podcast that I would recommend anyone else do. Like I said, it kind of came out of left field a little bit for me, but it really just came from a place of being hyper aware of the future that we were creating. And the reality for me is like, I'm 23 as of 2 days ago. So I have potentially, hopefully, at least 80 more years on this planet. And seeing where we're at today and the fact that everyone's saying in the next 10 to 20 years, we've got irreversible damage happening, then what is the 10, 15, 20 years after that look like? And the fact that I'm going to be here for that, and most of my peers and people around me are going to be here for that. And then thinking about what's going to happen then beyond that, the next generations, it's just so insane to me how people don't think about it at all. And so I heard something once, which was a bit like, the worst thing that happens if we take action to try and improve the health of our planet is the planet looks a lot nicer. Like, that's the worst that can happen. Like, say climate change is completely unreal, which I'm not saying it is. I think it is very real. But the worst thing that happens is the planet is a nicer place to live. And I don't think that's a negative at all. So really, I think that we've kind of developed a lifestyle and a way of living that is just so out of touch with who we are and how we should be treating our planet. Yeah, it's just something we have to change. And I think we have to hold corporates accountable. That's a huge part of it. But as individuals, we also have to take serious responsibility for what we're doing. And I think the waste thing for me, as you said, for your partner, it's very visual. Like, you can see exactly how much waste you're using. You can see how much waste you're putting out in the bin every week, every other week. So in that retrospect, I think that is a great place for people to start, because they can get really motivated really easily. And it's also something that they have direct impact on. Like, you have direct impact on the amount of plastic you bring into your house. And it's interesting you say the point about being in the US around plastic usage, because I was actually in the US when I had my big realization that I kind of wanted to pursue this further. And it was being in a huge Walmart. And don't get me wrong, there's equally as much plastic in the supermarkets here in Australia. I think it was just the sheer size of the Walmart and how much plastic and the people walking around with carts full of plastic that I was like, I really want to do something with this. So yeah, I think we all have a part to play. The planet doesn't need us at the end of the day. We need the planet. And so I think it's very easy for any person to take a few steps to just live a bit more sustainably. And that's what I try to encourage. I don't expect people to overhaul their entire lives. It's about making a few small steps in areas that are important to you, and from there, making a really big impact.
So on your podcast, correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably preaching to the choir.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that already want this and they go to you to be better at it. How does someone like you, with the passion that you have about protecting the planet, having less waste, and making sure that we have a sustainable living, I hesitate sounding too judgmental to those people that you saw in Walmart that had carts full of plastic that they were just going to throw away and it doesn't do the environment any good. Because on this podcast, my intention's not to save the planet. I'd hate to make someone feel like I was demeaning them in any way. So that's definitely not my intention, Tyla, or to you, the listener. But I'm wondering if your listener is already kind of bought into what you're selling, but the real problem is those folks that you saw at Walmart, hundreds of them, at the same time with enough waste to just destroy the planet. Mm-hmm. How do you get in front of them? Like, how do you change them? How do you solve that? Like, is there a plan that you have that can, instead of preaching to the choir, preach to everybody that's not already on board?
Yeah, absolutely. And to the point that you made around, like, the way our society is set up is a system that isn't kind of working to help people succeed in living more sustainably. Like, these companies, these big supermarkets, whoever it is, there are definitely ways that they could provide products with less plastic or whatever sort of area you want to focus on. So I don't want anyone listening to think that, oh, I'm a terrible person because I haven't tried to do something. Like, absolutely not. And the fact that you even think about it is a huge step. So I always sort of think that the best thing that we can do is just be a really great example. So obviously, as you said, your partner, by reducing the waste in your household, that's obviously impacted you. And I think what the best thing we can do, I think, has influenced the most people, particularly in my life, is just by being an example and showing the easiest things that people can do and the stuff that maybe people just don't think about. So a good example of this was during lockdown, I was going for walks to our, like, a bakery chain up around the corner from us. And I realized they just popped the breads in plastic bags. So I took my own bag one day and just said, can you just lean over the counter and just put it straight in my bag? And they were like, oh yeah, no one's ever asked us to do that, but sure. And that is such an easy thing, like, so easy. And I posted that on my Instagram story, and the amount of people that messaged me and went, oh my God, I never thought of that. Like, it's just such an easy way to make that change. And that's not going to work for everyone. And what is going to work for everyone is going to be so different. So I find that really just meeting people on a human level is the most important thing. And I mean, something I'm really passionate about is sustainable travel. And that's because for me, travel is just a necessity. And if you ask certain people, they will say sustainable travel isn't possible. You should stay at home. I'm sorry, I am very young and travel fuels my soul. And obviously the last year hasn't involved much travel, but I'm not willing to not do that. So I'm going to do the best I can do to make that impact. So what that means is I'm jumping into spaces where they're talking about travel, just adding a few suggestions to how people can travel more sustainably. And a lot of the time, there are ways to make travel easier even. So like, for example, using bar shampoo and conditioner. Like that's so much easier carrying around a bar when you're traveling versus a huge bottle that could, one, leak. And if it doesn't leak, it's probably heavy and big. So those sorts of things that are very small changes for people that just really make them pause and think of the important things. So meeting people first on a human level, like I said, just being really empathetic towards what everyone's going through and the fact that the society that we live in is not set up for us to succeed in a lot of these areas, and just really showing the small, small changes that people can make. And even in my home life, like I'm living with my parents at the moment, and there's so many things that they've always taught me growing up from like a make sure you recycle point of view. And that has definitely had an impact on me. But now I've just gone above and beyond. So I'll buy, for example, silicone baking sheets and be like, make sure you use your baking sheets. And the best part about all of this is, and there are so many other changes I just can't think of off the top of my head, is that they will, or like my friends will, if they saw me post something, come to me, or even people will message me and be like, oh, I tried this thing and I'm so excited about it. And just the fact that people get excited about a small change, I think is the power. Because excited, it means that there's an opportunity to make more change, and it means that they're thinking about it. And a lot of people go through life not even thinking about their impact. So yeah, it's just about meeting people in the spaces that they are, being really respectful and empathetic, and then being a good example is, I think, the best thing that anyone can do.
I'm interested in just asking a couple more questions on this. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm really looking to get your podcasting experience, I'm just going to pick your brain on a couple
quick things.
One thing that you said almost offended me.
Oh, no.
I really don't understand it. So I was going to ask you.
Yeah, go ahead.
You said something like bar shampoo.
Mm.
So a couple things before you jump into this.
Yeah.
Do you have bar conditioner too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So like when you're in the shower, and your eyes are generally closed when you're reaching for these things. Like, how do you know if you're washing your hair with soap or shampoo or conditioner?
Well, to make that a step further, I have like face scrub and face wash. So they're two different bars. The other day I washed my face with shampoo and then I put my cleanser in my hair. And it's just, look, it happens, but most of the time I can be careful. And you can definitely tell the difference between them, but like the bar products, because they come in such minimal packaging, usually it's just a box. Even like soap bars, like just for your general soap, I've accidentally washed my face with them and been like, oh, that doesn't matter, I'll just go over it again, or pop something in my hair that I shouldn't have, and oh, I'll just quickly go over it again. So it happens. And so I'm not going to say it doesn't happen, but it doesn't happen enough to concern me. And they all look very different. So the only ones that look a little bit the same are the shampoo and the cleanser. And I do mix those two up a lot. So
wait, what is cleanser? Is that like just soap?
Like face wash.
Face wash. Got it. Cool. All right. Well, I never knew that there was bar conditioner. My sweetheart has purchased bar shampoo. And I'm going to be honest, I thought it was a little weird. I'm like, huh? So you use a bar soap on your hair. But I never knew that there was something called bar conditioner. I'm laughing mostly because I'm just learning something new. That's just crazy to think about that. I guess more crazy in your defense and others who are doing that is like, we don't have to have jars of plastic holding onto shampoo and body wash. We really are using a lot more body wash, for example, when we're using the squirt kind versus when we use the bar kind. It just goes further. But additionally, like you said, it comes in biodegradable box, paper product versus like a giant piece of plastic that's going to sit there forever. It is really interesting. And do you have any other things that you want to share on bar shampoo and bar conditioner and bar cleanser, face cleanser?
Yeah, I guess if you're listening and you're going, I would never use bar shampoo and conditioner. I agreed with you up until a couple of years ago. I went to Nepal in 2014 and we had these little like soap packets that were meant to be shampoo and conditioner. And essentially what it led to us doing was picking out the dried bits of shampoo the next day because they were just terrible. So I had such a negative view of what these sorts of products were like. Mind you, that was 6 years ago now, which is horrifying. No, seven. So it's been a very long time. So one, these products have hugely developed. Like there are so many more sustainable options out there. And two, you don't have to start with the bar products. There are so many other alternatives. So for example, the brand that I currently am using, they also sell them in aluminium tins.
That means aluminum in the US. Aluminium is like a UK thing only. It's spelled completely different too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the US, it is spelled to sound like aluminum.
Aluminum.
Aluminium has like an extra U in it, and it's only the UK. And the only reason I know that is because I'm a mountain biker, and there's carbon frames and aluminium frames, aluminum frames. So anyway, keep going. I cut you off. I like the accent. So anytime I get to either poke fun at it or bring it out a little bit more, I think it's interesting.
It's all right. Now I'm just going to be so conscious every time I say it. So the aluminium or aluminum. No, that's wrong. It's
definitely
aluminium.
Wow, you crushed it. You did so well.
Maybe we probably make fun of it a little bit in Australia, the fact that you guys say it that way, because all of our television and stuff is from the US, or most of it is. So we definitely have heard that before. But yeah, so the reason it's a great product is, unlike plastic, it's like infinitely recyclable. It doesn't lose its weight. It's a much more efficient process than recycling plastic. That's another great option. It's one that we've got here in Australia very readily available. There, I'm sure, are brands like Turnitive, if you're not ready to move to bar products, is seeing if there's like a bulk food store. Usually bulk food stores will have some cleaning, hair care products, stuff like that. And you can just take your bottle back to be refilled. That's another great option if you're not ready to move to bars. Or even then have a look at, like, some places will deliver to you a product and then you'll send it back to them. So there's a whole bunch of different alternatives when it comes to this. And obviously the bathroom is actually one of the biggest areas of waste. It usually goes like kitchen for food and stuff, as you said, your partner's aware of, and then bathroom. So I find that that was one of the easiest places to start for me for reducing my waste. And I've just gone from there.
Good stuff. Let's jump into podcast related podcasting tips. Let's start here. What big challenges did you have as you were launching your podcast, growing your podcast, and you've overcome them and would like to share with a new podcaster how to achieve what you achieved?
I think the biggest thing, and I'm sure you hear this all the time, is the kind of concern what other people are going to think and the like weariness to just announce that you're doing it. I think at the very start it's a lot. It's really scary. I mean, I'm completely taught myself how to do everything with this. And obviously don't underestimate the impact of Googling, YouTubing, searching, seeking out people who can help you with your podcast. Because at the end of the day, the amount of people that want to start a podcast and just haven't because they're too scared or they're worried they don't have the skills really, really outnumbers the people that do it. And I think that it's great that podcasting is becoming so accessible because I think it's one of my personal favorite mediums. But just being able to be like, I don't know if I can swear, I don't give a shit about what anyone else is going to say about this. I'm doing it for my enjoyment, for my purpose. And on top of that, just the concern about, like, are people going to come on as guests? Are people going to want to listen? It's like, if you're genuinely enjoying yourself, then that's the most important thing with this. Obviously, from there, you can go and make it super professional, make an income from it, do whatever you want to do after that. But if you're not genuinely enjoying it, you're going to die after a couple of episodes. So if you can kind of affirm that it's something you really enjoy, which for me, I had a spot there where I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. And it was during, I don't know if how up to date the US is in what's happening in Australia with COVID, but it was during, we went into a stage 4 lockdown, which essentially meant we couldn't go more than 5 kilometers from our house, which is a couple of miles. So yeah, it was a really tough time for all of us, essentially literally being locked in our homes, could only go out for 1 hour of exercise and then go to the supermarket. Like, that was it. And so during that time, my faith really wavered on, like, is it really worth it? Do I really want to do it? And there was a period where I stopped doing it. And I know that a lot of podcasts stop around that, like, 6 episode mark. And that was where you definitely feel the, like, okay, this is where I make the decision whether I go all in and keep doing this or I stop. And so I was lucky enough that during that time, I had taken the time to really sort out my mental health, sort out what I wanted to do, and then decided, yep, I'm going all in on this. I'm just going to push forward and do it. So yeah, you've really got to, before you start, I think, look ahead to those tough times and be like, am I going to enjoy this enough to put that effort in? And then on top of that, as I mentioned, like worrying about having guests coming on and stuff like that, I did not realize how willing people would be to come on and give their time. And I'm so, so grateful for that. And I think that people don't realize the power of just asking, like literally just ask. The worst they can say is no, right? The worst that someone can say to you is no. I mean, they could say your podcast sucks and no, but they're not going to, right? You're probably reaching out to people that either are in your niche or someone you know, or someone you know through someone you know. Like, you're reaching out to people and you're connecting with them on a level that they can understand. And so I think that, yeah, so those would be my pieces of advice. Just do it. To see if it's something that you're really going to be passionate about. And if you're worried about getting guests on, if it's a guest-based podcast, obviously not all of them are, but if it is, just ask, just do it. I swear it is not as scary as you think. And one of my recent guests, who I haven't released the podcast episode yet, I was almost crying when she said yes. So even the people that you think will absolutely say no, ask them. And then if they say no this time, come back in a year, like, or see if you can make it a yes. And obviously without badgering people, but I think that being one of the most surprising things for me around podcasting is just the willingness for people to give me their time and their insight and just say yes to things.
Awesome. Awesome. I love that you got into getting good guests for the show and that it's not as scary as it feels or you think it's going to be ahead of time. And most people say yes. And the worst they could do is really say, no, not at this time. I'm not doing podcasts right now, or I'm a little busy. Call me next year. Call me in a few months. Do a podcast, a video cast, or just an audio cast? And do you suggest others do the same, and why?
So this is interesting that you asked this, because this is something that I've been thinking about at the moment. So at the moment, I do record the video. So I do have the video, but I, at this point, am not really using it. It's just a recording it. So I've got it. I mean, I do use it for like small clips and stuff that I use on my social media. And I think that at least if you can get video for that purpose, absolutely do it. I only do the audio just because that was what I started doing. And I'm definitely looking into how I can either use the video that I've got and use that as well as the audio and use that on stuff like YouTube, absolutely pulling clips and stuff like that. But I think that, I mean, at the end of the day, if your main goal is to reach a larger audience, platforms like YouTube, TikTok, Reels, even Pinterest, which I'm kind of new to, I know that a lot of people have been really into it for a while, but having video clips and really powerful video clips from your podcast for those uses, I think are so powerful. So even if you are doing an only audio podcast, which at this point I am, and I am looking to see whether I will move it to video, because like I said, I've got a bank of videos for all the podcasts I have recorded. At least if you can get some sort of video to use in clip form or stuff is what I would suggest. So even if you're like, I don't want to bother with a video edit, and mind you, if you can edit a podcast, you can edit a video. It's not a dissimilar process. I mean, if you're recording on Zoom, then you can do that as one process. So the other podcast that I work on, and I actually probably should link you up with the other host that I work with, he does a video as well as an audio. And again, one of those things that really works for him, but it doesn't work for everyone. So I think my advice would be at least get some sort of videos that you can use and utilize. Because even if you use the audio clips, people connect so much better with a face. And so for those sorts of purposes, promotional purposes, search purposes, being able to pull out a couple of key clips of answering like a how-to question is one of the best things I think you can do. So some sort of video, I do audio, but I'm looking to the future at potentially doing like full video as well.
Nice. With your podcast, there's a lot of things that you've overcome and you've charged through, and you mentioned that there's a lot more people that don't get over all those fears and they just kind of don't ever do it, but you've been able to achieve that. And you've found that it's a lot easier than you ever expected to get guests, to put yourself out there, to do content. I was wondering if there's anything that you still like struggle with, that's still like a challenge for you with your podcast that might be beneficial to one of our listeners who's really going to be a podcaster as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Like when I say it's easier than I thought, that doesn't mean that it's easy by any means. I think that being able to put yourself on camera or on audio every week is, it's a lot. And especially considering, like, I don't know if anyone likes the sound of their own voice. So having to sit there and listen to it for an hour to edit after is a fun thing to do. But I just think one of the main things for me now that I think is a challenge is really about, it still comes back to that imposter syndrome, I think. And because so many people have hugely successful podcasts, and you'll see people post on, say, Instagram, oh, we've just hit 100 million downloads, or I've just hit 10 million downloads. That can be so overwhelming when you're looking at your podcast stats going, I'm not even close to that. And it can very much feel like, oh, is this silly? And people might be like, oh, how many listeners do you have? And at the start, you have five and they're your family members. Like, no matter from what point you're starting, you're going to have that feeling of very much imposter syndrome. And I still have this to this day. And even reaching out to guests, while I say just do it and it's easy, I still feel nervous that they're going to think I'm stupid. Like, I literally think this person's going to look at this email and think, what an idiot that they think I would come on their podcast. But that's just not the case. And so I think that I'm very much a believer of you'll never know something unless you just do it. And so I would rather just know if it's a flat out no, or if everyone hates my podcast, which isn't the case. And it's not going to be the case for most people, because at the end of the day, if you're getting some sort of enjoyment out of it, then that's enough. Like, I think that because podcasts have become so commercialized, people think that it has to be this huge operation and they have to be making millions of dollars from it and whatever, and have every top guest in the world. But if you're having fun with it, then that should be enough for you. And I understand that people do use it for marketing purposes. I use it for marketing purposes. And beyond that, at the end of the day, I'm absolutely loving what I'm doing. And for me, it's just a great way to have great conversation. So every time I kind of catch myself being like, oh, why am I doing this? I'm not getting enough listeners for this to be worth it. Whatever it is, whatever that sort of negative self-talk is, I kind of catch myself in that moment and be like, why does that actually matter? And why do you really care about that? Because I mean, I'm having conversations with some of the most influential people in the sustainability space that I literally have to pinch myself every time that they've come on. And this would be the same as me saying to them, let's have a coffee. And they'd probably say no to that. But if it's a podcast, then I can have a great conversation, share that with listeners and really pick their brains for things. So I think when you kind of come across that negative self-talk, at least that's what's been my experience, is just remembering that like no one really knows what they're doing in life and everyone's just kind of faking it a little bit. So whenever you have those moments, it's like, okay, well, if everyone else can just fake a bit of confidence, let me put a fake smile on, and the fake smile becomes a real smile, pretend to laugh a little bit if I'm feeling a bit nervous before a podcast episode, and just do it. Like, I really don't know how I could have gotten to the place confidence-wise even if I hadn't have just done it. And if you watch your first episode, everyone watches their first episode and be's like, oh my God, what did I do there? But it's about that growth and that impact. So yeah, I think that anyone can just give it a go and don't think that there's anything there stopping you barrier-wise, because if you're going to enjoy it, then I would say just do it.
I'll let that sink in. Awesome. This has been Tyler Lockwood from the Unlock Earth podcast, and you can find it wherever you're listening to this show. You can find her, get more inspired by her on how you can save the world, be more sustainable. So you just find that by going to the Unlock Earth podcast. Tyler, what is any one last tip, trick, strategy, automation tool, hack that you want to share with a new podcaster to make sure that they're as successful as you and I?
Thank you. I can't believe you just put us in the same ballpark, but I appreciate that. Ooh, one tip. I know that, so a platform that I've gotten a lot of use out of, and it's not necessary for people, so I don't want people to be like, oh, that's just another platform, is Squadcast. I use Squadcast to record my podcast interviews. I think that if you use Zoom, that's another great option. I know that's what a lot of people use. I use Squadcast because I am terrified of losing any of the podcast episodes. So if the internet cuts out, if something happens and everything goes black, the Squadcast backs everything up to the cloud. So that's sort of for peace of mind for me. I'm not saying it's going to suit everyone. I'm not saying everyone needs to do that. But for me, I really appreciate that. And they've just added a video feature to it. So I might play around with that, talking about potentially moving into a video podcast. But I think a lot of the time when you're starting a podcast, people list out all the tools and stuff. And really, you can start one with just the most basic things. But if you want to take it to the next level, or if you're like me and really scared of losing content for a guest that you know you won't get back on, I use Squadcast for that because it backs everything up. And I just think it's a good platform. But there are a ton out there. And I think finding the right tools for you is a bit of a deep dive process. So do the research. I probably did too much research. So do a bit of research and then just make the decision. Otherwise, you'll never make that decision.
So on this podcast episode, you, the listener, I want you to remember how many times Tyla cut out today. At least eight times where it lags and then you can't hear you. We are using Zoom.us to record, and I like Zoom for a lot of reasons. It makes automating it and systemizing it much, much better. But I do have the con of dealing with my guest oftentimes cutting out just because
pausing at my guest. You're like, I had the problem with dealing with my guest and then just pause. And I was like, okay.
No, dealing with you, like today you cut out a few times, and that might not be ideal for every listener to work through that. It just saves me an incredible amount of time to use Zoom. And so the pro is right now it's more systemized and automated than Squadcast and Riverside.fm. Mm-hmm. But when Riverside gets their button gear and allows me to integrate it with my Calendly, I'll definitely be switching over. But if you heard that Tyla cut out today, it's because we're using Zoom and she's using Wi-Fi. And when you have your podcast, if you use Zoom, you're going to deal with the same thing. You're going to deal with your guest kind of cutting out in the middle of a great part of the story or in the middle of really good content. And it can get a little distracting for the listener. And I understand that. I'm going to use it until Riverside or Squadcast allows me to integrate with my Calendly. So it gives a unique link. But definitely, if you don't have as many episodes as I do, I'm doing like 8 episodes every Wednesday.
Oh my God.
If you don't have that, I think that you should be able to use Riverside or Squadcast and get a way better recording. The audio will sound better. It won't cut out as much. And the video quality can be a lot better as well than Zoom. I'm just sharing with the listener why I still use it. Tyla, you added a ton of value. It was fun going through your story, why you started the podcast, what you're achieving with the podcast, how you're looking to monetize the podcast, including the course that you have to help people to be able to be more sustainable in this world. And I just want to thank you for the time that you poured in. I know in Australia, you had to wake up at like 5 a.m. just to do this. I'm grateful. The listener's grateful. And I hope that they reach out to you and find you.
Well, thank you so much. This has been awesome. And actually, this is the first time I've been on the other side of the podcast interview. So I'm feeling very, very grateful that it was with you and it was such a great experience. So thank you so much. And I'm really excited to listen to it. And other episodes, of course.
Thank you, Tyla. And that's a wrap.
This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.